Good Tuesday morning to everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, a car guru, and I'm just absolutely convinced that there is a blessing hiding in you somewhere, lurking in your mind and your abilities and knowledge that you can pass on to somebody else today. So think about that. There's something there. I try to find somebody that I can shine a little light on every now and then because I have been so blessed over the years just by keeping my eyes open, walking through the dealership, and walking through the customer lounge and seeing a familiar face, or an unfamiliar face for that matter, and sitting down having a conversation and it just turning into something that I totally unexpected in a positive way. And so, you know, my dad was always a big blesser. He tried to be. Not a curser, not a cusser, but a blesser. Not blessing people out, I guess is what I'm trying to say. No, he was a gentleman, and he loved to make others feel good in terms of where they were in life. And that's a good lesson. I think it's something that we can all take to heart. I had a great weekend this weekend. It was, I've got an anniversary coming up next month, but the 12th was my mom and dad's anniversary. They were married in 1951. But Tara and I went to Asheville to just stay at our favorite little bed and breakfast there just off of Charlotte Street. In Asheville. It's called the Princess Anne Hotel, and I highly recommend it. They've only got 16 rooms. That's kind of big for a bed and breakfast. You know, most bed and breakfasts just have like four or five rooms. Maybe I'm mistaken, but most of the ones that I've ever been to were just houses, you know, that people let strangers come in and stay, and then they cook breakfast for them and then shoo them off after they take their money, of course. But the Princess Anne was actually It was a recovery place back in the 20s, built by a doctor, funded by a doctor, but it was run by a nurse lady that was just extremely helpful to the sick, especially people with tuberculosis. Apparently, the mountains of Western North Carolina was a recommended place for people who had suffered through TB, and a lot of them ended up in the Princess Anne Sanatorium. It's either a sanatorium, I think is what they call it. And the rooms are all pretty much as they were, except nicely decorated, and they've turned it into a wonderful bed and breakfast hotel. So if you want a place to stay, and it's not that expensive, I think during the week it's like $150 a night. Maybe that sounds expensive, but I don't think so, compared to most other places. A little over $200 over the weekend. We just stayed one night, believe it or not. We went up early on, Sunday morning after church, and or after Sunday school, I should say. We did skip church. I'm sorry. We were anxious to get to Asheville, but it was just a beautiful drive, and we went to ate at some neat restaurants, did some research, and shopped around downtown and saw a lot of strange people. I mean, you're going to see that in Asheville, North Carolina. So I guess you can see that just about anywhere. But who am I to judge, right? So we ended up going to the, the Tobacco Warehouse, Antique Warehouse, Tobacco Antique Warehouse. It's down on just right on the Swannanoa River. And that is an amazing place. I left some money there, brought home some furniture, not big pieces, but you know they're old. They're what they call mid-century modern. It's like the stuff that we used to throw out because it was old looking. Now it's cool again. You know this furniture from the '60s. It's really low, and it's got little skinny legs, and it's real. I don't know, austere. Is that the word? Plain. But it's real popular again, so my wife says. So anyway, that's what we did. And then we went to the Grove Park Inn. I went over there and checked it out. We're getting ready to have a family reunion. And these are all my eight cousins, including me, on the Hoke side of the family. My grandfather, Hoke, my maternal grandfather. He was an old country doctor. And my Nana, who was Lucille Genevieve Woodson, was her name. And they started dating when they were like in the, he said, but that's not what he said. But anyway, it's his side of the family. So my cousins and I are all going to get together. There's a bunch of kids, as you can imagine, grandkids and so forth. So we're all going to converge on Asheville in June of next year. Yes, we're doing long-term planning. I talked to the people at the Princess Anne. They said, we can rent the entire hotel. They've got 16 rooms And then they said, they also added, we don't care how loud you get as long as it's all a Yuns. Well, they didn't say Yuns. I threw that in for a little East Tennessee color. So anyway, it's either going to be that or the Grove Park Inn, which is phenomenal. If you haven't been there in a long time or ever, you need to just drive to Asheville and have the Sunday brunch at the Grove Park Inn, because there is so much food at that thing. Now, it's not cheap. You'll probably be a little shocked. I can't remember how much it is, but it is everything from shrimp. You never think of eating shrimp for breakfast, do you? But they've got it. And the dessert room is just unbelievable. But everything that they have is good, and the views are remarkable. Beautiful hotel. If you stay at the Grove Park Inn, don't stay in the new part. Take my word for it. Stay in the old part. The rooms have more character, and it's just like it was when F. Scott Fitzgerald stayed there. Matter of fact, I stayed across from his room one time, right on his door. It said that F. Scott Fitzgerald stayed in this room. I went back a year later to see if they'd put any kind of label on my room to see if Leonard B. Lawson had stayed there. But no, that just wasn't a big deal. So anyway, I'll tell you what is a big deal. Some of this car news, and I'll get to it here right after this break. Okay, I am back and recovering. I've got a bad case of poison ivy. Did I mention that? Yeah, I got it on my ankle, and I had to suffer through that this weekend. On the way back, my wife dropped me off at the doctor's office. I have to have me some Decadron. You know what that is? That's a steroid, and when they give me the shot, it pretty much knocks out my body's response to poison ivy. But I've got it in a bad place, just right in the crook of my ankle, and it makes it difficult to wear socks, shoes, or to sleep. But here's some car news for you. Lithium iron phosphate. Now, I don't know, is phosphate an element? I know iron is, and I know lithium is. Well, I think iron is. Of course, iron, is that not a combination of two different metals? Probably is. Sorry, that's why I didn't do very well in Mr. Kalau's chemistry class. But anyway, lithium iron phosphate batteries are the next planned battery technology innovation. There's a reason for this. It's those Russians. Yep, Russia happens to be a major source of nickel, which is one of the key components in battery cathodes. Now, in some Tesla batteries, the cathode, the part of the battery from which the current flows to the anode, is 90% nickel. So Tesla, Ford, and VW are turning to lithium iron phosphate to reduce nickel dependency. Maybe they just need to send it to rehab. But it is not quite that simple. Some analysts predict that by 2025, based on current projections of EV penetration, which I don't think is going to be that good, we will see demand outstrip supply, meaning that unless we find new sources of lithium or increase output from existing lithium mines, then we will deplete the available supply. What this means, folks, is more shortages. That's just a bunch of chemistry talk for those who like that kind of thing. But what it translates to is that there's going to be more shortages and the price. I really do believe that electric vehicles are going to be so expensive that the vast majority of them will be leased, because people won't be able to afford the payments to buy them. Now, leasing is not that bad. I mean, if I'm buying an electric vehicle, I know that there's a gradual depletion of the battery's ability to recharge, just like on my iPhone. So I don't want to keep a vehicle for 10 years. Now, those of you who are hard on car dealers and like to drive the wheels off your vehicles, then you may disagree. But that's just that's something we're going to have to get used to, or not. We can keep buying our internal combustion engines, which is what I'm in favor of. Yes, you can power your house from your car or truck. Well, I don't know any cars that can do it, but the all-electric F-150 Lightning can do it. It has a unique bi-directional charging system that can provide reverse power to your house. So instead of just it pulling into a charging station and sucking juice out of the charging station to charge its batteries, it can actually push it back to wherever. Matter of fact, it can charge a Tesla. They are including a kind of a rescue connector for Tesla. I don't know why they would do that for Tesla. I guess maybe to convert them to Ford products might be a good motive. But it will send power to whatever you want to send power to, as long as your house is set up to receive it. The feature can be turned on by a Ford dealer and can provide 9.5 kilowatts from the truck's 131 kilowatt battery. According to Ford, this is enough to power a typical house for up to 3 days, depending upon energy use. Isn't that cool? Now, Ford calls this home integration kit the Intelligent Backup Power System, and it is fully automatic, assuming the truck is plugged in when your house's normal power goes off. Well, how are you going to know when it's going to go off? Well, you don't. So you just plug in your car into your lightning into the outlet. Basically, you got to have this special outlet in your garage, okay? And unfortunately, it has to be wired by an electrician that gets power to this unit that hangs on the wall. And then the cord on the unit plugs into your lightning. Now, when the power goes out, the lightning all of a sudden says, wait a minute, where's the power? So it starts sending power back into your house so that your refrigerator, your lights, and everything come back on. That's pretty cool. What does it cost? The base price on the F-150 Lightning, I think, is around $49,000, and then you get a $7,500 tax credit from Joe Biden. Well, unless they decide to stop doing that. I don't think they will for a while, because people can't afford electric vehicles. They need all the help that they can get. Now, before you can enjoy that tax credit, you got to pay taxes. You don't get a credit if you don't owe taxes. So let's say that you owed the government, you ended up paying zero in taxes. Are you going to get a $7,500 tax credit? No. But if you paid $20,000 in taxes, yes, you will get a $7,500 tax credit. That's fair, isn't it? If you pay taxes, you get money back. Battery leasing. This will be another scheme to reduce EV ownership costs. This was actually developed in a country that we've heard of called Vietnam. There's a company there called VinFast, and they have a lineup of battery electric vehicles. And basically, the cost of a battery pack, which typically runs, I don't know how much a Tesla is, but the typical battery pack, it looks like it's going to be around $8,000, maybe 10. It can go higher in a much more luxury car because they need more power. But basically, this cost will not be included in the price of a vehicle. The car owner signs up what is called a battery subscription of $35 a month. Now, this price gets you 310 miles of use per month, which doesn't sound like much. After the owner reaches that limit, the cost is 11 cents per mile for the different battery sizes. Now, basically, driving 12,000 miles a year in one of these vehicles would result in about $1,300 in battery lease costs, which, that doesn't sound too bad. I mean, so you don't have to really buy the battery. Now, you got to pay for the charging, but I think, you know, in your home, they're talking about maybe $5 or $6 to fully charge your vehicle, where if you're on the road and you have to go to one of the charging stations and wait in line for hours, then it will probably cost anywhere from $15 to $25. Still cheaper than $5 a gallon gas, but who's complaining? Well, I'm complaining. Here's a complaint. So anyway, I'm restoring a 1965 Mustang convertible, and it is going to be pretty. Everything's going well now. It started out bumpy, to say the least, and sometimes they do, and a lot of people get discouraged. That's why most car restoration projects end up as yard art, on cinder blocks out in the front yard, maybe the backyard, or they end up in the garage with boxes stacked on top of them. But I had to plow through this particular issue because I was already committed and had gotten so far that the only thing to do was to finish it. And boy, I'm glad I did, because it is going to be a beautiful car. However, I ordered, when you order parts for a car, sometimes you will order the wrong thing, or you think you're getting a particular thing that will apply to you. Let me be more specific. Okay, let's just quit beating around the bush. I ordered a set of headers. Now, you know what headers are? If you don't, then that's understandable. So your car has, when it's running, it creates exhaust, right? And there's this thing that is the first part when it's coming out of the engine, where that exhaust goes and how it gets out of the engine is through something called the exhaust manifold. And it's just a big old piece of iron. You know, if you have an 8-cylinder, you got 4 ports on each side. So you got these 4 little tubes coming out. And they go eventually into the exhaust pipe. And if it's a modern car, it'll go through the catalytic converter and get sniffed by the O2 sensor and turn on a check engine light if it's, not right. And then it just goes on out the tailpipe. Well, on an old car, you just got to go through a muffler and then you're done. But if you want the vehicle to breathe better, which is, basically an engine is nothing but a contained explosion. You've got gas and air coming into the cylinder. It ignites. It pushes down on the piston, which creates rotational power, and that makes the car down the road. That's real simple, isn't it? But the exhaust product has to go somewhere, and typically there is exhaust. It goes out the exhaust manifold and out. Well, if you want it to be smoother and get some additional horsepower, sometimes up to 10 or 20 extra horsepower, then you put something on there called headers. Now, you take the exhaust manifold off, and you put these really smooth, shiny-looking pipes. My pipes were, the ones I ordered, were ceramic-coated. So they're pretty. As pretty as ceramic-coated exhaust pipes can be. It kind of looks like a pipe organ in church, okay? Hooked up to the side of your engine. And so what it does is, like I say, creates less back pressure and allows the engine to have additional horsepower and run better. Well, I ordered them. They're supposed to fit a 65 Mustang with a 289 V8 in it. And so they came in, and we were ready to put them on. Got the engine in. Everything's going fine. I get a phone call from the guy that's doing this for me. Oh, my engine builder, and this guy is actually 76 years old. How about that? So you can be useful, even in old age. So Charlie said, Lenny, called me, said, Lenny, these headers aren't going to work. And I said, why? They're for a 65 Mustang. They just aren't going to work. So that's not good enough for me. So I get in my car. I drive up to where I restore cars and stuff like that, or where I pay other people to restore cars. And he shows me. He said, Lenny, this you will only have about 1/16 of an inch of the exhaust manifold gasket that's going to be working. Only 1/16 of an inch is not enough. So you can't use these headers. So I called the people who sent them to me, and they said, well, they're supposed to work. Well, they forgot to mention that they are designed for a vehicle with upgraded aluminum heads. I'm not going to get into what heads are, but that's where the valves and all that stuff are. But anyway, I said, well, it didn't say that on your website. Well, just send it back. We'll give you a credit. So now those beautiful headers are going to go back to CJ Pony Parts, and I'm going to put these ugly factory manifolds on there because I couldn't get headers. This happens. It happens very frequently in car dealerships, when customers bring their cars in to get them worked on, and, they wonder, why is this taking so long? Well, sometimes the parts department will order the wrong parts, or the parts that they order are on back order. I have heard that so much. I've had to make a lot of excuses to people, legitimate excuses. I had to blame the other guy. I really don't know who to blame. I'm so tired of pointing fingers during all of these shortages and everything from manpower to steel to microchips. It gets old. But, we're here to serve, and we're here to make the lives of our customers easier, not harder. They have enough complications in their lives, don't you? So, I didn't get upset. I just boxed them up and sent them back and put the old manifolds on there, the good old Ford manifolds. I think this vehicle was built in the Dearborn plant, the original plant where Model A's were built for Ford. So that, a little nostalgia show. So I should probably feel okay about putting the exhaust manifolds on there that it was born with. But, boy, those headers look cool. I guess I'll get over it. Well, folks, I just want you to know that the government cracked down on auto manufacturers, and let's see, by 2026, the average fuel economy of a vehicle has to be 40 miles per gallon. Now, doesn't that make you feel better? So, you know, by the time 2026 gets around here, do you think we'll be paying more for gas or less? Well, I think a lot of that depends on, you know, what kind of policies come out of Washington, don't you? Hopefully, they will get off of this EV kick and come back to reality, understanding that people cannot afford to keep paying these high prices for cars, let alone electric vehicles. Thank goodness for companies like Porsche and Audi who are developing synthetic fuels that are made out of one of the basic components is something we need to get rid of, and that's carbon dioxide. Can you imagine buying a synthetic fuel that does not pollute? It'll actually burn in an internal combustion engine that's going down the road right now. Now, cost is a factor, but hopefully they'll be able to get that out under control. But this fuel will be made in a factory or in a plant. I bet it looks like probably it'll look like Eastman over in Kingsport. You've heard of Eastman? I remember when it was called Kodak. Not Kodak anymore. Maybe it was called Eastman Kodak. That's right. That's what it was called. That's when I used to use film in my Canon AE-1 camera. I don't miss that, do you? I love digital cameras. Oh, baby. I used to, oh my goodness, take so many pictures, and you're just so excited about seeing that picture, and you get it back, pull it out, and it's out of focus. And it was the picture of your, it's the right picture. You just can't see, you can't recognize anybody. So that stuff doesn't happen anymore. So there are some advantages of technology. I'm not a naysayer. But I tell you what, I'll do my best to keep you up to date on what's going on in the car industry. And if you have any questions, I've had some great phone calls this past weekend with people that need help on used vehicle values, antique car values. I even had a guy call me about a 1922 Ford Model T Woody that he wants to sell, and I'm real excited about seeing that too. So if I can help you, don't hesitate to call. I have some fun on this radio show, but I can be a serious guy if you insist. But anyway, my cell phone number, 423-552-2020. Don't be bashful. Send me a text. I'm serious. You know, it may take me a couple hours to get back to you, but I will get back to you, and we will help you make car buying decisions, servicing decisions, whatever. It's free. No charge. No subscription service here. We will take donations. No, we won't. Well, maybe like a chicken or a side of beef. No, I can't eat beef anymore. Okay. Anyway, I'm gonna move on. Thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. We'll see you tomorrow.